I would like to have participation from you all. Just think collectively, the amount of counsel that we have in this room, it's great. And the way we're going to do this, I'm going to ask you to do something that is easy for you, it'd be hard for me right now, and that is, if you'd like to share something, stand up. And if three people stand up, then we're going to listen to all three of you, whatever you have to say. So that's not too tough, is it? We're all guys, we all like each other, and what we want to do is help each other along this way, help each other to grow. And so I want to hear from you, I'll learn from you with your comments, and hopefully as I share some things from the Word today, we'll all be refreshed, and some of us will even learn some things today. I will remind you that on page 3 and page 6 of the handout are places for you to write down things that you're going to do. That's your note, but I would like you, especially if there's something that you've decided, when you hear the group share, you hear me share, if there's something that you would just like to do, that's the place, okay? I'm going to give you a real quick introduction as to why I would even be talking to you. You know, what does Rafe have to say about this? Well, precious Pam and I, in 2 months, we will be married 45 years. And it is a cliche, but genuinely true, and you can go ahead and ask my children, they'll tell you it's true, that precious Pam and I really, really are still on our honeymoon. It is high delight, passion, and beauty. And I just wish that we all could have that. I really do. When we were raising our daughters, one of our goals was to display before them so that we could say, we want you to have a marriage like your parents have. And the flip side of that was, we didn't want to ever say, we want your marriage to avoid the mistakes that you've seen your parents make in their marriage. So just real quick, that blonde guy, top middle, I was a towhead when I was born, and then moved through high school. There's a picture of me hitchhiking on Europe in 1968. And there's precious Pam, grew up on a farm in Howard County. And then we started dating. Back when, that was before I was a Christian. I was just a very cocky guy, thinking I was hot stuff. But we got married, college, just coming up to 45 years. By the way, early 1970, it really didn't seem strange to have a mini skirt for a wedding dress. Some of you know the Lambeths. Nikki Lambeth is our older daughter, but that is the first picture of my bride being a mother, and that is Nikki. To the left with her mother, and then to the right with her young, he's that boy. And then picture of precious Pam, that was actually on Nikki's first birthday, was that picture there. And then we graduated from college together. Then I was off to law school, and what's significant mostly about law school is that I was saved my last semester of law school reading the Bible. After reading through the New Testament about 5 times carefully, I just opened my heart to Christ on January 19, 1975. And if you're doing any reckoning, I'm coming right up to my spiritual birthday. So what we're going to talk about today is cherishing and nourishing our wives. And the reason why this is such a happy topic, but also dead serious, is that this is something God tells us to do. This isn't just sort of like an opinion because somebody's had the experience of so many years of marriage and so forth. We're talking about what God wants us to do. So, guys, this really, I'm hoping that it really matters to you if it's in the Bible. I hope that if it's in the Bible, you take that as my marching orders, and you take it that that's not a, I want to consider it, that's a God helping me, I will absolutely make that my course in life. And I want you to note, because I'm not going to take the time to say, by the way, this applies to the other and so forth. These are related. I'm going to talk about them separately because God put them both in the Bible and used two different Greek words for them. So clearly, they're both to be emphasized, but we all know that they are related, nourishing and cherishing. John Lambeth, will you stand up and speak loudly, projecting your voice, and read this section of Ephesians 5, please?
Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Thank you, Jonathan. Looking there, right after you see the words nourishes and cherishes, what are the next words? What's the next phrase there? Just as. And so this is really, really important because as we look at what the Bible says, what is our standard? This is so important. This is not, I'm going to do this judging myself based upon, and then just think of the person who has the best marriage you've ever thought of. That's not it. As high a standard as that is puny. What we're talking about here is just as Christ. And so with that high standard, I'm hoping that we're going to have our ears open today. I mean, we really, really, in cherishing our wives, need to do so the way God tells us in his word. And indeed, in Proverbs 31:10, more precious than jewels is true. Now, if we just use their common definition of cherish, it would be to treasure, adore, love, value above all else. And I think all of us are familiar with the word cherish, right? That's a familiar word. But before I get to the specific Greek word that's used in that portion of Scripture, I'll just rip through these real quick. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. And of course, there's nothing more valuable for you in your house than your wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And there's more, and I've put this. Now, here's the word, as we're supposed to do this, like Christ, cherish our wives. It's thalpo. By the way, if you're doing your Bible study and you are using a Greek lexicon, if you have a computer around, one of the neat things is that you can click on it and it'll tell you how to pronounce the word. So just a little clue, if you use a lexicon in your Bible study, you might go to one of them that's online because I think that is just so cool. How do you pronounce that? Click thalpo. But here's what it means. And you can picture this in your mind as you're thinking of, how am I going to cherish my wife? To soften or warm with body heat. What? So we're supposed to make our wife a priority relationship, providing warmth, safety, security, never a doubt in her mind of your commitment, care, appreciation, love, and so forth. There is only one other place in the New Testament where thalpo, the Greek word, is used, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. And Paul is telling his fellow missionaries that they had proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for. That's the word thalpo, cares for, tenderly cares for her own children. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. And of course, there's a difference between how a husband loves his wife than a mother tenderly caring for that baby. Of course, there's a difference. But there's not a distinction such that they're different in quality. It's just the application is different. With the mother, you can think in terms of, oh, that is pure love, isn't it? The mother holding, keeping warm her baby. Well, that's the word for cherish your wife. And as your wife would think of you, guys, would she say or even think, my husband so tenderly treasures me that it would be like how deeply I have treasured my own child as a baby. Very warm. Here's a great question. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Do you believe that about your wife? I mean, do you really believe that in the hustle bustle of life? But today, this is one of the most wonderful things because not only am I a very married guy and very all in about marriage, but guys, if we were the most selfish people in the world, we would want to be this kind of husband because the return is so fantastic. It is just so delicious and sweet and wonderful. We all know that there's a lot of things in this world that are wrong, and there are things that are dirty, and there are things that are painful, and things that are disturbing, and on and on and on. But as we treasure, we cherish our wife, we have the sweet benefit of her, first of all, if she's not used to it, learning it, that you're sincere, but then secondly, having the freedom, the genuine freedom in her own being to be that lover back to you, to be that sweet mate, to be your helpmate. So how can we cherish our wife? Let's hear from some of you guys, and I want people standing up. If a husband cherishes his wife, what difference would that make in how you even think about your wife? Anyone?
Putting her needs above your own.
Good. Anyone else? Well, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to think about her. One thing you're going to think about. I remember when I was dating Precious Pam, I was working in Janesville, Wisconsin, in a Chevrolet assembly plant, and I was working the 4 p.m. to midnight shift. And literally, I spent 8 hours just thinking about this hot chick I was dating. I was just consumed by it. Well, here's a question. This is not, other than just a touching on a couple times, this is not a talk about prayer. I do know that there's actually some Christian men who don't pray for their wife every day. Well, shame on anyone who doing it and stop that and do it right. Start praying for them daily. But how about this one? How often do you just think about your wife? Just think about her. You know, we're busy. We have all these important things that we're going to do and so forth. But how often do you even think about her? If we cherish her, she will be on our mind. And not just on our mind in a way of, oh yeah, Pam, but what a babe. I love pictures, and so I have lots of pictures around the house. And this may sound weird, but I'm willing to be weird. When I go by those pictures, often I'll just look at that and I won't say the word out loud usually, but I'll actually say it. So I hear the word, like, she is so sweet. Or, what a babe. Or, and she's mine. Think about your wife. Well, how about if you treasure your wife, gentlemen, and she comes in the room, what might your countenance display? Your very look.
Adoring her, just tell her that she's the everything for you. And women, they want to be adored.
Yes, speak up, please.
I say women want to be adored. And you can show that in so many different ways.
Anyone else? Your countenance. Yes.
Two things. Not very good at it yet, but I'm trying. Is to encourage her daily. Find something. And sometimes that's difficult with our male egos. That's godly. Project out away from our selfish selves for someone else, especially our wife. Encourage. Find something every day. Set a goal as a man. Encourage her. When you look, the beauty, it's incredible. And there's a thousand things we can encourage our wife. Secondly, is be willing to apologize. When we say some things as a man, that just aren't quite right. We could not underscore them as godly. Humble ourselves and apologize to the trusted. And by the way, I like your precious. I call her precious as often as I think about it. Now again, I said these are two things we can work on as husbands.
Yeah, good.
Adoring and honoring. I think we think about the words honoring, respecting, cherishing, nourishing. So we may have difficulty with those things, but it's worthy to work on that because the wife is.
Amen. Thanks. Anyone else?
I think one thing we also need to do is compliment her. Let her know how whatever she does, how good it is, And in the morning, when you get up, tell her how beautiful they look. I think that's important too.
Yeah, I think when she walks in the room, my countenance should be welcoming. I'll be excited to see her rather than irritated that she's interrupting some really important task.
Yeah. Good. If any of you have been around a dairy farm, there's a lot of poop. And so dairy farmers wear these rubber boots that come up to their knees, and before they're going to go in the house, there's a place for those, but it is outside. So in other words, they take that off, and in that way, they're prepared before they come in to their wife. I want you to remember this. You're about to come in the door. Maybe you've had a lot of pressure that day. Maybe somebody burned you. Maybe you're just feeling lousy. But you're about to see your wife in 13 seconds. Can you think in terms of, I am going to so express what I cherish that when she sees my face, it's going to be affirming, it's going to be loving and pleasant. I'm going to give her the gift of my countenance when I walk in now. And by the way, that's free. The returns are without measure. That's just good stuff. Well, if we cherish our wives, what difference should that make in the words? Our words, our speech with our wife. Guys? loving.
Our words should be edifying. We should want our wife to become the best that she could possibly be, to encourage her, but also direct her and to help her to become the person in Christ that she's meant to be.
Good. Anyone else?
Having compassionate and gentle words instead of harsh words or irritated words.
If we cherish our wife, what difference should that make in our approach toward sex, intimacy with our wife? Well, I'll tell you, because you might be too embarrassed to talk about it, I'll say something. And by the way, people in their middle 60s still have sex. Sir? That's right.
Nourishing in what are her needs and communicate that.
Good.
We need to communicate in that area. And she will tell you. She'll show you. So communicate and think giving rather than, you know, we guys, we tend to take it. And that is not honoring and cherishing our life.
That's right. Yes.
The men tend to have sex with the body, the women have sex with the relationship. So it would be more enjoyable for both if we work on the relationship more than physically.
Well, I guarantee you, if you're angry with your wife at supper, there'll be no nookie later on. Again. If we were the most selfish people in the world, we would really cherish our wives because the returns are fantastic. I'm not going to dwell on this. By the way, if you wanted to hear an hour and a half on this topic, come to week 6 of the class that I teach from time to time on being a husband of valor. But as we're combining sort of the thinking and the intimacy, it is okay, guys, it really is okay to lust in your mind for your wife. Just your wife. But it's really okay to fill your mind with thoughts of her nakedness or the sweetness of her caress and on. That is okay. And there's nothing wrong with us getting those juices running. And again, as long as just our wife, that is pure. It is not defiled. It is good. Okay. Show me how a man spends his time and money, and I can tell you absolutely what are his priorities. Anybody disagree with that? Because how we decide to spend our time really, really, really tells a story, and without saying a word, our dear wives interpret how we make choices with our time. You are very busy. I am very busy. None of us has enough time to do all that we wish we could cram into a day and a week and a month and a year. It is such a precious commodity. Well, put that together. Precious commodity time. Cherish your wife. Don't you see how those really sort of naturally should fit? But do they? A husband who cherishes his wife will give her and show her honor and respect that was mentioned earlier. The husband who cherishes his wife will consider the impact of his words upon her. Remember when we were kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? You know, that's 180 degrees off. That is truly 180 degrees off. And all of us have had the experience of something coming out of our mouths and it's too late to take it back. We've all had that experience. All the more reason to be really in control, but particularly with one we cherish. Now for us who are in the Big Ten, we thank Ohio State Buckeyes. As an Iowa guy, thank you, Ohio State, for bringing honor to the league. I know you didn't do it for the Hawkeyes. I know that. But I'll take it. It was great. Anyway, but this is what I think Ohio State fans usually look like. But sure, honey, we can talk during halftime commercials or even injury timeouts. The husband who cherishes his wife will consider the impact. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way. How about this one? On the golf course, well, are you just kind of in labor or really, really in labor? Now, this one is too true. Be careful, guys. This is really important. When I heard that what Scott and Debbie Grass did, where they had this basket coming in the house, where we had the people coming in, put all their cell phones there, I've actually used that since then. That's such a great idea. This is a no cell phone event. Well, how about with your wife? We're just such unbelievably insensitive people. Do we really think that our wife does not care that we take the call when she is talking about something that happened with the kids or in her life that day? Do we really think that that doesn't matter when, oh, just a minute, this is really important. You know, sorry, be right back. But, or like this one, where she's talking and then you're dinking around with the phone, acting as if, you know, I'm really giving you fully my attention. Well, be careful. This is one that is hard. But I'll tell you, our go the other way. Our wives will really appreciate it if we turn our phones off. Time for us to be uninterrupted. What did we do? What did we do 15 years ago? I mean, did we leave the house, 5 minutes later realize, oh, I forgot my notepad and pen. I'm going to go back home and get it. And yet we are so tied to these cell phones. Well, be careful, because they can actually do harm to your marriage. Be careful. Wife, I'm not an option. I am a priority. I consider this to be huge, really huge. Undivided attention. I better say this one, this next statement with this picture, not that one. I learned this from my wife. I was watching my dear wife deal with one of the kids. And she was in the middle of doing something really, really important. And I looked at her, she set down this thing that she was in the middle of baking, and she got down on one knee, looked, I don't remember if it was Nikki or Laura, right in the eye, and listened to this story as long as that child was talking. And there was absolutely no other person on the globe in my wife's mind other than that daughter when she was listening. And I looked at that, and I actually learned that day. Sorry. I actually learned that day. And by the way, back there, I'm trying not to hurt your equipment. I'm sorry. I learned that day that I was failing to do this. Because, of course, I have all the busy stuff to do. You know, I have cases to prepare. I have clients to see. I have... investigations to complete. I have documents that need drafted and all this important stuff. And, you know, I've got to be keep thinking about that and so forth. Well, no. If we cherish our wife, we're going to decide that our attention is 100%, not 80, not 90, not 95, 100% on her. I will promise you that she will appreciate it so much. And wives are really perceptive. Wives are really smart. They know. They really do. They know if your mind is somewhere else. They know it. So, again, this takes prayerful planning. Guys, we sometimes think that it is the woman's role to have romance in the marriage. Well, that's wrong. Here is what is supposed to not be a difficult question. In the marriage, who is to lead? Who? That's right. Well, what about romance? Who's to lead? Do you lead? An expression you hear around here that is so true. Leaders lead. Do you lead? Okay. If you're the leader in romance because you cherish your wife, then you're going to think about and you're going to pray about. How about this? You're going to pray about, today, what can I do that my wife would receive as being a romantic gesture? You know, most things that are of romance are free. Most things that are effective in romance require thought and planning. And who leads? And how about these little things? Like little love notes. Around our place, we have these post-its that are up there. There are literally some post-its, just because Precious Pam and I have not taken them down, that have been up there for over 10 years. But just little notes. That one off to the top right, this was when we were newlyweds. I painted this dumb picture. It's not a great work of art, but I gave it to my dear wife. It is still, almost 45 years later, hanging in our bedroom, just because she received that as something special. And I hope that if you have a desk, you have a picture of your wife on your desk. I hope that if you carry a wallet, that you have her picture in it, you know, sort of like that. And by the way, when I don't have the timer going, That's my back screen, is my lovely wife also. Those little things, they make a difference, not just because it's refreshing to you always in remembering her, but it makes a difference to her when she sees your wallet and sees your picture. It makes a difference to her. And love notes. One of the neat things about you being the leader to send love notes is that you get love notes back. And, you know, we think of ourselves as macho. Well, I'll tell you what, I like to receive a love note from my wife. It warms my heart. It lifts my spirit. Well, I think it's even more so for her. And how about just simple times together? But leaders lead, and so it takes planning. What are we going to do? When you're speaking to others, do you honor your wife in such a way that shows you cherish? How about just taking care of yourself? This one here, gentlemen, is big. I'm going to give you a clue. If there's ever something that you need to be that fast at, and I mean, if you do you're in trouble. Wife says, honey, do you think I'm getting fat? You got to be on top of this one. But seriously, it's not just the saying so. We actually control what we consider wonderful, what we consider valuable, what we consider beautiful. We control that. That's in our mind. We are the gatekeepers of our perception. And you have one wife. I have one wife. There is only one person who's the most beautiful. And I'm not looking around, and you better not be looking around to say, well, then how does she measure up? That is a losing proposition to begin with. But let's just say we're staying at home. I choose. She is so beautiful. She is so hot. She is the best. She is the most attractive. And we express it. And we express it over and over and over and over. And if you are able to live 100 years, and she is too, you're still saying it often. She never gets tired of it, but she's... One thing about females is they really want the affirmation. And when they say, I've just gotten fat, or I wish that my hair was as bright as it was when I was a young woman, or something like that. While they may be very aware of the truth that things are somewhat different, they're wanting that affirmation that you do not cherish the woman she was, you cherish the woman she is, and that is really critical. And so, if for example your picture of your wife is when she was 20 years younger, get rid of that one. Put the picture in your wallet of how she looks today, because that's the one you cherish. And let's face it, we change too. And, we talked about that. Okay, I don't have much time left, so we're just going to sort of rip through Nourish. Ektrepho is the word for nourish there, and the ek is giving it intensity. So we're talking about strongly nourish, and the trepho is the feed or nourish or rear up and so forth. But because of the tense it's in, it has this continuous, continuing nourishing, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And at first this may seem strange. The other place that this ektrepho word is used is in Ephesians 6:4. This is about children. Bring your children up. Ektrepho. In the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, now this gets back to the point where we are the priest of the home. And we are responsible for nurturing her to growth all the way to the end goal. We are responsible for assisting her in growth in every part of her life. That's what we are to be doing as husbands. Oh, I'm going to stop there. He walks with wise men will be wise. You be the leader, you be the wise one, and as she walks with you, you will help her to gain wisdom. Iron sharpening iron, we always think about that as like a point man group or a one-on-one accountability. Well, there's nobody that you should be more accountable to than your wife. And with your wife, assuming she's a believer, and you are helping her to grow, she then is going to be helping you to grow too, because she is going to honestly and respectfully be interacting with you as you share. And of course, as you're leading her, make sure you're leading her right. You be the one, again, I'm just going to go pretty quick here, but you be the one who's going to initiate praying together with your wife. That is really an intimate thing, praying. Praying with somebody is really intimate. praying with your wife is as intimate as it gets. And what a treasure if you are leading your godly wife in prayer. And similarly, it's a sweet thing. You're having your quiet time, you're gaining knowledge and so forth, but you're not going to keep it bottled up for you. You're going to share it with your wife. Why? Because you are the priest of the home, and because this is such a delightful thing. What God says to us is all the good stuff about how we should live. Every single time we obey God, we are making our life better. Every time we're helping our wife to obey God, we are nourishing her. And how about this one, serving together? One of the things that's a part of our history is for 19 years straight, Precious Pam and I, at a church in a different town, were the leaders of the children's ministry. And we had like 130 kids, and we did this together when our kids were still at home. They actually helped us. They helped us as we were making crafts and stuff at home. It was an important thing that our family did together. Well, serving together with your wife is such a fantastic way to nourish her, because you're there. Guys, you are the leader, mentor. You help, and by serving together, and even the physical aspect, nourishing her emotions with your restoring care. Getting to the point where she is so relaxed in being with you because she knows that she can be herself and that you will love her who she is, you can laugh together. And surprises, fun, whatever we pay attention to grows. The real power of man is in the size of the smile of the woman sitting next to him. I mean, is that how your wife is because of you? Or is your wife because of you something different? Well, if you need some fixing, do the fixing. A happy wife is a happy life. There isn't time to do this, but I that's why I printed them there. What I'd like you to consider are all these common sayings that I have printed there. I want you to think those through about how do those have a kernel of truth that actually is consistent with things we learn from the Bible.